Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge Bubba Show with Xander. And Xander, it is Thanksgiving Day, one of the great football days. They start a little earlier, and of course, we've got some games to talk about today and some other football news. And what do you think? What are you thinking here, brother?
Well, I mean, we got a great slate. Thanksgiving Day, I mean, there's not much more you can ask for than three games with pretty heavy playoff implications. I mean, we start off at 11:30, Vikings and Lions, both 6-4 sitting atop the NFC North. And, you know, this division is an absolute shit show. I mean, I can't say that I'm confident in any one of these teams pulling through. And you know, I don't even want to talk about the playoffs yet, because I don't think any of these teams right now, as I see it, are going to make any noise in the playoffs. But, you know, you never know. If you make it to the big dance, you know, you can always make it to the top. But, I mean, this is an awesome game. I mean, you got two teams that are tied for first. I mean, the Packers had a chance to move within a game last week, but, you know, that defense, you know, has more holes than Swiss cheese. And I think you could have run for 200 yards on them the other night. It was a pretty brutal game to watch, but I give credit to Rob Kelly and Kirk Cousins. I mean, they put up numbers. They did good. They won the game. And we get to see them in the second game, Redskins traveling to Dallas to play the Cowboys. This is another big game. I mean, I think this tie might end up really hurting the Redskins at the end of the year. I mean, if they're able to pull off this upset at Dallas as a 7-point dog, they're going to be 7-3-1. Cowboys are going to be 9-2. That tie looms large, though. You know, they'd much rather be 8-2. But I think the Redskins have a realistic shot to win this game. I think a lot of people knocked Kirk Cousins throughout the course of his career, myself included. But if you look at his overall numbers, I mean, the guy, passing yardage-wise, has been, you know, one of the best in the game. Led the Redskins to the playoff last year. I mean, this guy, I think he flies a little bit under the radar. He's not very flashy, but he's done some great things the time he's been in the league. I mean, even from coming as a third or fourth round pick, the next year playing for the Redskins after they drafted RG3, I think the game is going to be pretty tight. It's going to be tough. I mean, Dallas, I think right now I have to say they're the best team in the NFL. I was in between them and the Patriots last week, and the Patriots came out and did, you know, what they wanted to do. They beat the 30-17. It wasn't an overwhelmingly great game for them, but you know, they basically beat the crap out of the 49ers, which was expected. But I mean, the Cowboys have really not faltered this entire season. I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, in the face of adversity in the fourth quarter, has led his team, I think, to three or four game-winning drives. You know, and after that first loss, you'd think, you know, a rookie coming out loses to a huge division opponent the first game of the year, you don't really know what's going to happen. But you know, 9 games later, they're sitting here at 9-1. And Tony Romo is kind of an afterthought now, but, I mean, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, this has been a lethal combo, and I think a big part of this game is going to be the Redskins' defense. I mean, they've got to find a way to slow down this combo. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, I think is the most rushing yards in the league. If not, you know, he's in the top two, I know that. So he's been great so far. It's going to be the Redskins' defense has got to do a lot of things in this game, because I think they're going to put up some points, but You know, Dak Prescott has also not been very flashy, but meanwhile he's got 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's doing exactly what he needs to do behind this offensive line, and the defense is also playing pretty well. So I think 7 points is a very fair number for this game, but if I had to pick a side, I think the Redskins are going to show up and come to play on Thursday. And that would be my solid pick of the Thanksgiving Day. What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, I mean, if you want to look at that game first, I like the Redskins here, and I think they're going to beat them. I think they're going to beat them straight up. I think that I love Dallas. I do agree with you. I think they are the best team in football right now. But, you know, again, when you just look at a basic probability model, and then you look at a division game, and you look at two teams that are hot, and you know, I just think that the Redskins are going to get out on top of them, and I think they're going to beat them. But I think it'll be a good game. But again, I'm still not a big fan of Kirk Cousins, but he has been playing better. And this Kelly, the new running back, has been running the ball well. And
Fat Rob, they call him. That's what he introduced himself as. His first start on Monday night last week.
Fat Rob, and if what's the running back? What's cornerback Norman. If Norman gets his head out of his ass and starts to play and quit talking so much, I think that they've got a real shot because they have been playing very good ball. And even that guy, I think his name is Pierre Garçon, woke up and caught a few balls. So I think they've got a real shot, and I think they do win in this game here. I think the Vikings are going to beat the crap out of Detroit. I think Minnesota found something and played a little bit better. And I do not believe that the Lions, you can see, I think, how valuable Calvin was, you know, Calvin Johnson was with them, because the receivers they have now, they're nice, but they need the guy that's the superstar that draws the attention, because Golden Tate had a great year last year, struggling this year, can't get open. You know, there's a lot of things that happen, and you know, I think that it's going to be a knockdown, drag out, and I think that the Vikings come away with a pretty easy victory when it's all said and done. And then just looking at the night game, you know, I liked my best bet of the week was Pittsburgh before I heard that Luck was out with a concussion. So obviously that comes off the table because the game went from 2 to 9. So obviously I have no action or interest in this game. It's a good break for Pittsburgh and a bad break for Indianapolis. What are your thoughts of that game?
Yeah, you know, this is disappointing. I mean, night game, I know both these teams, to me, are not very good. But, you know, like I said before, they're both in playoff races. Colts are one game back of the Texans. Steelers are, I think, one game back of the Ravens. And, you know, this is a big blow to the Colts. I mean, Scott Tolzien, you know, the guy really hasn't played at all in the NFL. And like you said, I liked Pittsburgh a lot before this. And the fact that, you know, this offense is going to be led by Scott Tolzien, I think this could be an ugly game. I mean, 9 points is a lot of points, especially on the road. You know, it's tough to gauge how well he's going to play. I mean, Frank Gore, bless his soul, has been magnificent this season. But I don't know if he can carry an offense by himself, especially when the Steelers are going to be keying in on him. I mean, this could be a game that features a lot of screen passes with T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. I mean, I feel like that could be almost the only way the Colts could sniff victory in this game. But, I mean, the Steelers at 5-5 have been a very big disappointment this year. But, you know, they're still fighting for playoff life. I mean, the AFC North has been almost as brutal as the NFC North. I mean, you got the Ravens, who are one of the most unexciting teams in football, yet they're leading the division at 6-4. And you got the Bengals, who have been, I think, probably next to the Cardinals, probably the biggest disappointment in football this year. A.J. Green went down last week. I think we're still trying to figure out how much time he's going to miss. I mean, the early report was that he was done for the year. Then I heard something that he might miss a week. So I really don't know about that yet. But, I mean, the Steelers, I think this could be the start of them getting on a run. You know, Big Ben really needs to find a rhythm. He hasn't really been that healthy all year. And now that they finally have Le'Veon Bell back, I mean, Bell, Roethlisberger, and Brown, I think, are probably the most lethal combo in the league.
But we'll have to bring it up next segment. That's all the time we got for the Sporting Edge. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. And we'll see you next segment.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show Sporting Edge. with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, you know, it's the college football season is winding down quickly. Of course, we still got that those 400 bowls are going to come up with after the season. But it's good. Listen, it's, bowl season is great. The pools, the playing, the gambling. But of course, tonight there is one game. And you know what happened to Texas A&M, Xander? They were up there. They got put ahead of Washington, and now they're now a 7-point dog at home to LSU. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a major fall for Texas A&M. I remember the first week they got in the college football playoff, I was one of the people who was very against it. I thought that Washington, an undefeated Washington team, should have definitely been slotted ahead of them. And what do? Texas A&M goes, and I think they lose 3 weeks in a row, something like that. They're now an 8-3 football team. It's definitely disappointing. I mean, Kevin Sumlin, I think, is a great coach. I mean, this team definitely had the opportunity. They put themselves in a position where they'd have went out. They could have definitely been in the college football playoff, but, I mean, these past few weeks have just been brutal. They dropped some games they definitely shouldn't have dropped. And now, you know, 7-point underdogs at home to a 6-4 LSU team, that's tough for me. I mean, as bad as Texas A&M has been the past few weeks, I mean, 7 points at home, I think this is an enormous game. Doesn't really have playoff implications, but it's yet, you know, still a very big game. I like the Aggies in this game.
I do too. I like them as we used to call it a pizza bet, but I like it as a turkey leg. I think, you know, the problem I have with LSU and trying to lay that kind of wood in this game is that I don't know if they can score 7 points. I mean, obviously they can't, but I mean, again, I don't like laying a lot of lumber with the team that has trouble scoring to begin with. So I'm in agreement with you there. And I think that they do come back, and it does have obviously big bowl implications because, and the bigger the bowl, the bigger the money. And of course, tomorrow we've got, you know, a pretty full slate of games. Not all have meaning, but I think if you look at you know, some of the games, I guess before we get there though, I want to ask you what's your take on Charlie Strong getting a hook from Texas?
I think it was a necessary move. Charlie Strong, I mean, his tenure with Texas has been, you know, pretty much a disappointment. I mean, there's really no other way to sugarcoat it. I mean, I think I saw a record was 16-20, 16-21, something like that. It's not really living up to the standards of a, you know, Texas football program. I mean, that team should be in the top 25 every year, I think, you know, pretty easily. And it's kind of sad to see, you know, I'm not sad that, you know, Charlie Strong is going to get quite a hefty paycheck and will definitely get hired somewhere. But it just didn't get it done, and there's no other way to put it. And I think, you know, you saw with his players, he was really beloved in that program, and that's the sad part, that, you know, he's not going to get to continue there. But I mean, that's part of the business. If you don't win, you don't stay. I mean, you need results, and that's, he just didn't provide them. And I still think he's a good coach. You know, sometimes things just don't work out. I mean, not everybody's Jim Harbaugh, you know, going everywhere and turning every program into, you know, a top program, and, you know, going to NFC championship games and Super Bowls in his first 3 years. It just doesn't happen that way, and you know, this just didn't happen to work out for Charlie Strong. And I can't disagree with the firing, because, you know, after 3 seasons of sub-500 football, I mean, sometimes you got to make a change, and I think this is the time.
And kudos to you for trash-talking Notre Dame last week, because, of course, they spit up a 17-point lead and lost again. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, Notre Dame's got some bigger problems to worry about than one game, because it looks like they're getting 21 games taken away from them between 2012 and 2013. This is another academic violation case. And, you know, kind of after reading through all of it, Bub, you know, as much as I bashed them last week, this seems pretty darn harsh for the NCAA to vacate 2 seasons worth of wins off of a student trainer, I believe, helping a couple kids, you know, basically doing their coursework for them. You know, I think this happens in almost every major program in some shape or form.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these kids come to school to play football and to go to the NFL, and, you know, school is a kind of a secondary thought, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the route you want to take, if you're good enough to do that, fine. I think this is a pretty harsh penalty by the NCAA And that's my opinion. As much as I don't like Notre Dame, I thought they came down awfully harsh on them.
Well, listen, the NCAA, in my opinion, is the same as the Federal Reserve. They're both worthless, and they're both ignorant, and they don't do anything worth a crap because the NCAA, their rules are so antiquated and so ridiculous that, you know, but you know, what I never understood, though, seriously, is what's the difference? They already won the games. They're over. What are they going to give back the money to the fans who went and watched them win? I mean, what does it mean they took away the game? They don't mean anything going forward, do they?
No, I mean, the only thing, I guess, would be, I guess, for historic purposes, if you're looking at the programs, but, I mean, if I was a player, it wouldn't mean anything to me. I mean, if I'm, you know, in the NFL, I mean, this 2012, 2013, you know, Notre Dame went undefeated until they lost the national championship game. I mean, wouldn't change anything for me as a player. I mean, if you look back, you know, Brian Kelly's coaching record is going to be affected. Notre Dame is going to move from second all-time in wins down to fifth now. I mean, it doesn't really mean much except for the fact that the NCAA is more or less sticking their you-know-what out and saying, this is what's going to happen now. You were taking away wins. I guess you could call it more a punitive damage that they don't do it again. I guess that would be the main point, I guess, they're trying to make.
Just don't take away my paycheck. That's all I care about. So, you know, so we do have a number of games today, and I guess the Apple Cup, of course, you know, I don't think Washington has any shot to get back to the chance, but they do play Washington State, and a 6-point favorite at Washington State. What's your thought? Any thoughts there?
I like Washington in this game. I think this has been the most important Apple Cup, I think, since I've been watching college football. And, you know, Washington, they had an outstanding chance to make the college football playoff, but they ran into a buzzsaw of a USC team. I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was. This is going to be a tight game, but I think Washington comes out on top. I think they do cover. I think they're going to win by 7. That's my, you know, I would call that a pretty tight game. One possession. I think this Washington team is still very good, but when you look at their strength of schedule, they basically needed to be undefeated to be considered in the top 4 teams, because there's no way that a one-loss Washington team can even really be compared to a one-loss, you know, Michigan, Clemson, Ohio State. So, I mean, that's my take on it.
I agree. Listen, I never like Leach anyways as a coach, and you know, I don't like their whole style. And of course, they got pulverized by Colorado last week. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a repeat. I'm a little bit more they're going to get pounded variety, even though it is an Apple Cup or a rivalry game. Another game that I thought was interesting. You know, Houston at one time was talked about the national championship, and they ran into a couple of buzzsaws. And now they're only, and I say only because we know that those are always trap bets, but they're only 3 points over Memphis on the road. What are your thoughts there?
Honestly, I can't say I've watched Memphis play a lot of football this year. You know, they're 7-4, have not been in the top 25. It does seem like kind of a trap bet. You know, this Houston team, besides the 2 losses, I mean, they played some fantastic games, and we really saw their full potential when they just absolutely annihilated Louisville, sacked, you know, Lamar Jackson 11 times. I mean, that game was just an absolute blowout. And, you know, I think I might have to fall into the trap here, Bub. I think I might have to take Houston laying the 3 points on the road.
I would agree. Unfortunately, I have to agree with you because I just don't see it. But, of course, I'm not supposed to see it. We're just the commentators, and this has been the Sporting Edge Bubba Show today with Xander and Bubba. And, of course, we both want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. And don't eat too much because you got to get ready to watch football. I don't want you falling asleep with a tryptophan. So make sure that, and we'll be back on Saturday for the weekend's games and what's going on versus the news. So we enjoyed being here, and Xander, it's great to be on the show, and I'm thankful to have you as part of my radio teammate, so thank you so much.
You too. Thank you.
This is the Sporting Edge Bubba Show. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you back here on Saturday. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll see you later, everybody. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
What's up, everybody? This is Xander welcoming you back to the Sporting Edge. Yeah, we had a Thanksgiving special. We did a couple segments for you Wednesday night. Had a great round of games on Thursday. You know, the Redskins were close, but not that close. They ended up getting taken down by the Cowboys. Pittsburgh game was pretty brutal. I thought that was kind of to be as expected. Scott Tolzien, wasn't terrible, but, you know, just didn't really get it done. They didn't score twice in the 5-yard line. So now I'm sitting here on Friday afternoon. We got a couple more segments before we get into the weekend. I know we get a big day of college football today, and also a big round of games on Sunday. But I have a very special guest with me. Bubba is taking a break for the end of the show, and I'm bringing on one of my good friends. His name is Ethan Rosenzweig. We call him Roz. Went to high school with him. Have been playing sports with him for, you know, almost 15 years now. And, you know, he's a very knowledgeable sports mind. So, what's up, E? How you doing?
Hey, Axe. How you doing? It's good to be on the show. Very happy and excited for this being my first time on.
Yeah, you know, we've been doing this show for a long time. And for the longest time, it's just been me and Bubba. But I'm glad that we got some new blood on the show. So, Roz, I know we wanted to talk some NFL. I know you're a big Packers fan, and that's unfortunate because they stink this year. But I know we got a lot to talk about with this slate this week. It's almost playoff time. We're in week 12. This is basically where it's do or die. So I know you had a couple picks that you wanted to talk about this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So gambling is a way of life, and I feel I've been doing pretty well in that way of life recently, being 10-4 in my last round of betting. And I found a lock this week that I hope people appreciate, and it's the New Orleans Saints. They are hosting the St. Louis Rams down in New Orleans, and we know Jared Goff is getting his second start after a mediocre debut start. And I think that it's going to be high scoring. I predicted the score to be 31-16. It is a 7-point spread. It opened there, so be careful to see where it moves. Hopefully it kind of stays around the 7-point range. I wouldn't take it if it goes much higher, especially if it reaches double digits. But it's looking pretty good. We know there's a strong front seven for the St. Louis Rams. It is the LA Rams now. We are talking about the LA Rams. I can't get used to that yet. But anyways, Drew Brees is at home in the dome, and it's a swing game. We know that in their division, the Atlanta Hawks are starting to pull away, but the Atlanta Hawks or Falcons can end up blowing this division lead, and the Saints are going to need this win on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Rams have, I'm surprised they've gotten to 4 wins this year. I mean, they're a really hard team to watch, and, you know, Jared Goff last week making his debut. I kind of looked, you know, as expected. You know, he wasn't great. You know, made a couple good plays, but overall not very exciting. You know, I thought after they scored on their first drive that, you know, maybe this is the start of something else. They end up losing the game 14-10, but I'm actually on Roz's side here. I love the Saints. 7 points is always a lot. I mean, you're talking about a whole possession here, but, I mean, you know, Saints at home, this is the Coors Field of fantasy football, and Drew Brees always puts up numbers here, and I think this Saints team is just going to have I think this Rams team is going to have a tough time keeping up with the Saints. You know, the Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas combo, I mean, they've been pretty lethal this year. And, I mean, Drew Brees is yet again, yeah, but at about 40 years old, is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mark Ingram and Tim Hightower are a pretty formidable duo in that backfield. Mark Ingram really sprung back to life last week. They had a tough loss to the Broncos. I mean, that was a game I thought they needed to win. Lost on a blocked extra point, but You know, that's football. What are you going to do? So I think we move on, Roz. Do we got any more picks for the week?
Any more picks for the week? Unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, being a big Green Bay Packers fan, I know the Eagles are on Monday night against the Green Bay Packers. They are at -4 currently, and I believe that you keep picking against the Packers at this time being. They're playing fourth, fifth, and sixth string defensive backs, and their middle linebacking is totally a mess with Jake Ryan most likely going to be out again. It's a sad thing to say, but Carson Wentz is going to have the home field advantage here Monday night, kind of his first big showing, and I think he's going to take it once again to my Green Bay Packers. And Aaron Rodgers, though, still a great fantasy play. They'll have to keep fighting back, and he's been putting up high numbers for all you fantasy owners who have him, and I would continue that trend.
Yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it kind of reminds me, he's kind of the Blake Bortles of last year. I mean, the Packers have been down in so many games that, you know, basically for a quarter and a half, he kind of just gets to chuck the ball all over the place, and hopefully it lands in one of his receiver's hands. But, you know, the Packers have been just atrocious on defense, and, you know, I can't really, you know, hit him on that. I mean, they are playing with fourth and fifth string guys, but, I mean, that's the NFL, man. I mean, you got a lot of injuries, got a lot of stuff to deal with, and I think this is going to be a big bonus for Carson Wentz. I mean, Wentz has done some great things this year, and there's been a lot of times where he's looked, you know, played the part of a rookie, and that's what you're going to get with a rookie quarterback. But I have a feeling he comes out this week and plays well. You know, 4 points at home, you usually give a team 3 points when they're the home team. So they're saying this Eagles team is a little bit better. And I think Carson Wentz is going to be the X factor in this game. I think, you know, the defense will keep playing how they have been, pretty crappy, and it's going to be up to him to exploit these holes. You know, Ryan Matthews vultured some touchdowns last week. I put Darren Sproles in my starting lineup, picked him off waivers, thought I was being real tough, real smart, and it took 3 touchdowns away from me. But that's a pretty explosive backfield as well, and I think Jordan Matthews is also going to have a big game in this one. And other guys to look at, you know, Dorial Green-Beckham, Zach Ertz, these are all guys that could kind of go off against this very suspect Packers defense. So that's the Monday night game, and, you know, Packers still are fighting for it. I mean, Roz, we watched in Thanksgiving, the Vikings-Lions, another tough loss for the Vikings. I mean, the fact they keep blowing these games, they're up, you know, with 3 minutes left, it's atrocious. What do you think?
The Vikings have been an interesting story. I believe Sam Bradford's come back down to earth. He had, as everyone noticed, he had the 4 or 5 wins. Was it 5 wins, Xander?
Yeah, I think they started 5-0.
5-0, yeah. So starting 5-0, fall back down to 5-4. Tough place to go play, Ford Field. And Green Bay's done it a bunch on Thanksgiving. And Matt Stafford, he's what he was. He was picked early, number one overall pick. And although his teams have never been very good, he has always been a monster for the Detroit Lions. His statistics are still showing, and it's unfortunate. We were talking about it yesterday, Xander and I. Sam Bradford didn't look to throw the ball 5 yards down the field or further than 5 yards down the field, and it came back to bite him on that interception by Darius Slay at the end of the game. It's tough for the Vikings, and being a Packers fan, you kind of almost hope the Vikings pull that win off as Detroit looks like the hotter NFC North team in a struggling NFC North division this year.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, the Vikings offense, I mean, their running game is almost non-existent. I mean, you've got two guys who are on such opposite ends of the spectrum. You got Jerick McKinnon, who I think is more of a dine and dash, Darren Sproles type of back, and you got Matt Asiata, who is more of a plug and chug. Neither of them are really a true running back, I think. And the real problem here is this offensive line. I mean, it's been pretty brutal. They were able to skate by the beginning of the year. I mean, their defense was so good that they, you know, they've given up 10 points a game. It's not that hard to win in the NFL, even if you don't have a great offense. But I thought Roz made a great point. I mean, Sam Bradford, every game I've watched him play this year, the guy just does not look down the field. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's by design or just him as a quarterback. But even back to his days in St. Louis, I think that's one of the biggest knocks on Sam Bradford is that he never really takes shots. We saw it at the end of the game. You know, that 5-yard out route gets picked off, and you know the Vikings give up, you know, 2 field goals back to back, and they're kind of wondering, you know, what happened again. And now they're under 500, 5-6, I believe, right, Roz?
The Vikings are now,
I think it's 5-6. Whatever it is, it's not good if we're starting 5-0.
6-5.
6-5. Excuse me. But yeah, you know, the Lions, I think honestly, I'd rather play the Lions. I think their defense is nowhere near as good. And Matt Stafford, while he has been putting up numbers, I think this team offensive wise has really missed, Calvin Johnson. You know, we've seen it over the past couple of years. I mean, that was an explosive duo, Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. But you know what, Roz? You know, we got a couple more big games this week. You know, I don't want to say the 49ers, but I think they're taking on the Chiefs. And we got any other games we're looking at right now?
So interesting game. Put it up, or another lock game I saw is New England's going to be on the road in New York. You know, road games are tough, and as you said earlier, 7 points is a lot. New England's right now at -7. They have a projected win score of 28-19. Bill Belichick versus the division. He showed it already this year. Yes, they lost at home to Buffalo, but again, that was without Tom Brady. They went on the road to Buffalo, covered the spread, and absolutely dominated. The Jets are nowhere where they were last year. Brandon Marshall having a subpar year, and Fitzpatrick having a worse year. So they're going to go into New York, and I think they're going to take it to the Jets. They love playing the division games, and Belichick's going to keep his winning ways.
Okay, and we had 49ers-Dolphins. That was the game I was looking at. Not the best game to pick, but you heard it here. Patriots-Jets. Patriots are going to absolutely clobber the Jets. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick against the division opponents are always amazing, and they have been this year as well. That's all the time we got for this segment on the Sporting Edge, LibertyTalk.fm. That's where you can find our shows. If you miss any part of the show, and I'm here with my good friend Ethan Rosenzweig, we'll be back next segment. A little talk about college basketball and more NFL. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge. I'm joined here by my good pal Ethan Rosenzweig, the Roz man. Roz, I know we're both big NFL fans, and one thing that you follow also very closely is college basketball. So, I mean, we're getting into the swing of things here. Friday night, I know we got a lot of these opening tournaments finishing off later tonight. So, you know, you got any feel for the games, any picks this weekend, any locks? Do I need to take out my checkbook and write a check to the bookie? You got any good picks for me?
Tonight at 12 a.m., as most of us might be in bed, we have UCLA playing against, they're taking on Nebraska, who just beat my Flyers. I'm a University of Dayton Flyer attendee, and our Flyers went down in a close game, yet this Nebraska team is taking on, I think, the best UCLA team we've seen in a while. They're led by guard Lonzo Ball, who has just been absolutely fantastic so far. The spread there is 9. And I believe that UCLA is going to cover. UCLA has scored 100 points in their 5 of the first 6 games. They look fantastic, and I don't think this Nebraska team can keep up and run with this team. So 9's a good spread. I believe UCLA is going to win the championship. It's the Wooden Championship out in California. It's only fitting that they win John Wooden's award. He's the former coach, obviously, at UCLA. So I like that game a lot. Look for UCLA to win tonight early in the morning on Saturday.
Yeah, early in the morning. We might still be up. You never know with us two. But, you know, Roz, you know, we're about 4 or 5 games in the college season. You know, top 25. You've had a couple shakeups, but, you know, basically stayed pretty status quo. Are there any other teams out there you're looking at this year you think that, you know, might have a big year, surprise a couple people besides the, you know, the Dukes and Kentuckys of the world?
Well, the Dukes and Kentuckys, yes, they look absolutely fantastic, but look out for Baylor to be that team in the NCAA tournament to go a little further than you were expecting. Baylor is 5-0 and is currently in the championship game today against Louisville. Yes, they had a rough first half, if you've already caught that first half, but they've already cut the score to single digits once again. Baylor took on Oregon, I know, without Dylan Brooks, yet they took Oregon to school, held them under 50 points, something that Oregon is not used to, as their team averaging well above 70 points per game. Baylor, very tall, very athletic. I understand that that's the mold they go by, but they do have shooters this year, and their big men are very skilled in the post. Watch out for Baylor. I'm telling you, they're the team to look for.
All right, so we're going to have to get you back on the show come tournament time to give us the breakdown of where Baylor's going to go in this bracket, because I know that I basically tune in to the NCAAs right around March. So right now I'll catch the occasional game on Friday night. But, Roz, I know we're a few weeks past the enormous event, but I know you're a big Cubs fan. Tell us a little bit about what that was like. I think you saw the game in Ohio at Dayton, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're sitting in Ohio and Dayton, and it was fantastic. You're with all the roommates, all the fraternity brothers who some are real Cubs fans and some are just, hey, I lived in Chicago, so let's throw the W hat on. It was a very, very emotional night. ups and downs from Baez's bunt that almost gave me a heart attack to the way Zobrist pulled it off in the end in extra innings. It was fantastic, and it's an amazing feat for Chicago, and it was felt on the campus at University of Dayton because we pull in a lot of Chicago traffic, a lot of Naperville kids, as well as northern suburbs and southern suburbs. So you felt that kids were running around the streets holding W flags, singing Go Cubs Go. It was very fantastic, and it just brings such a great warm feeling, and I feel that this feeling is going to continue. This team's going to be sticking around for a while. We looked in the books. Everyone's kind of signed until 2022. We just have some pitchers we'll need to sign here and there. This Cubs team's ready to go, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah, you know, I remember I talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. It was absolutely crazy. I got to watch the game with, you know, another one of our buddies who I go to school with, and it was crazy. It's kind of surreal now. I mean, looking back, you see the signs. Cubs are 2016 World Series champions. It's surreal. And, you know, like Ethan said, I mean, this is a team that looks like they could make a run for the next decade. I mean, pitching, you know, Lester, Arrieta, I don't know if we're going to have all those guys for the next, you know, however many years. But, I mean, pitching is something that you can always, if you got your checkbook open, you can always go buy it on the open market. But, I mean, this core of young guys on our team, including Kyle Hendricks, who had an absolute breakout year, was very close to winning the Cy Young. I mean, this is going to be an exciting team to watch. And, you know, now that the curse is finally over, you know, who knows? This team could rattle off maybe three or four in a row. They could become maybe the 2000s version of the New York Yankees. But, E, one more game I wanted to talk about a little bit. College football, I think we got to consider this probably the biggest game of the year so far. Got the Michigan Wolverines traveling to Columbus to take on the number 2 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. I believe Ohio State is sitting at a 6-point favorite right now. I've seen 5.5. I saw 6.5 earlier in the week. You got any thoughts on the game, E? And if not, you know, who are you rooting for? Who would you like to see take home this game?
Well, that's the other funny part. So other than the Chicago kids at the University of Dayton, we have all the Columbus kids. And so Ohio State, Michigan, this is a playoff game this week. So we're going to – the winner is going to move on in the playoffs. Loser, it has been a fun season for them. Ohio State's going to take this game. It's home in Buckeye Nation. They are 5.5-point favorites, and I would even tell you to take that 5.5-point favorite or tease it with their over-under and tease the over-under down 6 points and pull for the over. So – I'm telling you, Ohio State's got it. They have JT Barrett. It's his time to shine. They need him to play like a Heisman candidate that he was early in the season. And Michigan's going to be really missing their starting quarterback. And we can say that the more important part of Michigan's team is their defense. Yet, I think missing your starting quarterback who was there from the beginning and all the wins, you kind of need that. You need that centerpiece, and he's not there. I'm telling you, Ohio State's the way to go this week.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Wilton Spate hasn't really been too exciting this year, but, I mean, there's something to be said for a guy, you know, who's the quarterback of your 10-1 football team and has done some pretty good things. Guys consider him a leader in that locker room, and it's going to be tough. I mean, Ohio State going to Columbus anyways is a tall task, and I think a lot is going to be put on the plate of the Michigan defense this game. And we've seen basically the entire year they've been pretty lights out. They really have not faltered. You know, even when they lost to Iowa, I think, you know, they gave up 14 points. But this Ohio State team has a very powerful offense. I mean, JT Barrett, we've seen, is a definite Heisman candidate. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I thought, had it clearly in the bag. But, you know, if JT Barrett happens to come out and puts up 5 touchdowns this game, I think we could be a lot closer in the polls than originally thought with Louisville getting spanked by Houston last week. But I agree. I like Ohio State in this game. You know, I think it's going to be a 10-point game. I know I'd hope for it to be a last possession Hail Mary. Somebody catches it. I mean, I think it's going to be a fantastic game, but I think Ohio State is going to be a little bit too much for Michigan in this game. You know, Ohio State clobbered them last year, and I think Michigan is nowhere near the team they were last year. I think they're much better. But I think the power, I think the home field advantage here is going to kick into effect. And I like Ohio State in this game. And, you know, it's crazy that this game, you know, huge playoff implications. You know, even if Ohio State wins, though, here's the thing. They might not make it to the Big Ten championship if Penn State were able to pull it off this week. But I don't think it really matters. If they win this week, they're going to be ranked in the top 4. And if Michigan wins, then they're mostly likely going to play for the Big Ten championship against Wisconsin. So You know, after the top four, I think the top four is great as it is right now. You know, I'd love to see Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson, you know, start the playoffs today. After, you know, maybe a little precursor with the Michigan-Ohio State game, but I think these are the four best teams in the country. As I'm sitting here right now, we got Washington has beaten the crap out of Washington State, so they're a team that, you know, you can't look past them. I mean, they still only have one loss, but... You know, Roz, you got about 20 seconds left. You got any final thoughts for us on the show? Any final last words you want to say?
Final last words is very convenient that we're on the show this time. Baylor has finished their 16-point comeback and has beaten the Louisville Cardinals, ranked 14th in the country by 3 to win the championship this year at Atlantis. So, Baylor, watch out.
Look, this man is a psychic. You know, we're sitting here 1 second. They're losing. They're down by 10. And then as we round up the show... They end up winning by 3. I mean, if that doesn't show you how much of a magician my friend Ethan here, Ethan Roz Rosenzweig, I don't know what does. But, you know, we had a great time on the show today. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. And hopefully Roz can join us here again in the future. It was great having you today. And we'll see you.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. We will see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.